to C3 Church Hepburn Heights. We believe Jesus Christ gives life to the full, and we are called to live it and share it. We pray you enjoy this message today.
Okay, I want each and every one of us here today to hear something of God calling you to even greater freedom. Like each and every person here today, would you have the courage to lean in, to open your heart and your mind to a beautiful work of the Spirit, that you would hear God calling you to even greater freedom? Robert Mulholland Jr., in his beautiful book that we've, I think we had for sale, and so it's probably 100 people in our church ended up buying this book, called Invitation to a Journey. And in there is this really helpful definition for spiritual formation. And spiritual formation is described here as a process of being formed in the image of Christ for the sake of others. A process of being formed in the image of Christ for the sake of others. And I want each and every one of us to hear something of that call afresh, that we would be alive on that journey. This is not a static journey of life with Christ. Well, a static journey is probably not a journey, is it? There's something else. But this is an ongoing adventure that we are called to every single day. And so today I'm calling us afresh to be firstly brave, as it takes courage to engage with the Creator of all things in a way that presents ourselves before Him, that opens our heart and our mind and is willing to allow Him to speak and guide and show, reveal maybe even things that we don't want to see about ourselves. But so that He can guide and lead us towards even greater freedom. So firstly, for us to be brave, and secondly, for us to then be intentional. And as God does call us to freedom, that we would then be active in our response. So brave and intentional. Brave and intentional. Gracious and loving God, you know the deep inner patterns of my life that keep me from being totally yours. You know the misformed structures of my being that hold me in bondage to something less than your high purpose for my life. You also know my reluctance to let you have your way in these areas. Hear the deeper cry of my heart for wholeness, and by your grace, enable me to open up to your transforming presence. Let's own that prayer today. We're going to set a platform in the Word of God this morning as we then have some, there's some cool little diagrams that are coming up on the screen, but you have to wait, okay? I did have a hand-drawn version, but thankfully Tom made one that you could actually understand. So that's coming up shortly. But first, we need the Word of God to lay a foundation for where we're going today. So we have somewhere between 10 and 15 scriptures that we're just going to read. And so just open your heart afresh to God's Word today. So 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Ephesians 4:13. This continues, and here, until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. We're on this process of becoming more and more mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. It's growing inside of us. Romans 12, 1 to 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Offer every part of who you are, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper or your logical act of worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then in that work of transformation that the Spirit is doing, you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. 2 Thessalonians 1, 3. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love all of you have for one another is increasing. And what a marker of our Christian maturity that our love for one another is increasing. Psalm 139, 23 to 24. Search me, God. Some of the bravest words any human can utter. To pray them and mean them. Some of the most powerful, life-altering words any human could utter. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, any way in me that leads me away from you, and lead me in the way, in your way, the way everlasting. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, and then 18 to 20. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ, from verse 18. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. And here we see again this great interdependence. Whereas we're on this journey of becoming more and more like Christ, a critical part in that process is our interlocking and our allowing the other parts of the body where the grace of God is seen in a slightly different way to what it flows through you to ultimately shape and be a part of that process of us becoming more like Christ. We need each other. God has orchestrated it that way. John 8:32, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And I want us to have the thought here that as we present our true selves to God, his truth can come and set us free. If we present a false self to God, then the truth is not actually applying to ourselves, so we remain unchanged. And so the necessity is that we bring our true selves for his glorious truth to continue the work of freedom. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come, Jesus says, I have come that you, that we may have life and have it to the full, that there is a fullness of him alive and ever growing inside of us. Matthew 28, 18 to 20, then Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. There is an ongoing process of us being taught how to own the entirety of his truth. And this is an adventure for a lifetime. Romans 8, 10 to 11. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin. This is a present reality for us here. The Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because his Spirit lives in you. So we have this tension where we have a present reality where our bodies carry death, but our spirit is alive in God. And it's a process of his life permeating every part of who we are, every part of our body. And we're going to get to that in a second. Ephesians 4:22, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Verse 24, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And this is an ongoing process for us, even when Christ lives in the center of our hearts, is to continue to put off the old self, to get rid of it, and to put on our new self. Colossians 3, 5 to 10. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. And here are some examples. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves, and here there's some more, of such things as anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. And do not lie to each other. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices, who knows, those practices can feel so normal and be so a part of who we are that we don't even realize. And we've put on the new self, new practices, new ways of being, which is being renewed, being transformed in the knowledge of God in the image of its creator. Philippians 2, 12 to 13. Therefore, my dear friends, and it's good, even we need to be reminded, even when the word of God sometimes comes strong and straight like a sword, that there's a heartbeat here, my dear friends, we're his beloved children, greatly loved so we can be fully real in his presence. As you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. And we have these tensions. We're to work out our salvation with fear, work it out, be active, participating. But ultimately, it's God who works in us. It's his mighty power. It's through his grace. And this prevents us from ever being in a place of striving. Jonah, let's throw up that first image. Thank you. So I don't know when it was, sometime in the last 13 years, I think it's in the last couple of years, I used a diagram similar to this in a message. If for some of you it does sound familiar in some ways. And so here we have a body, a human. And so let's put ourselves here just for a moment. And I don't know where your hair's gone or the rest of your features, but you get the image, and you have a very nice pointy nose. It's a very good one for picking. You can get in there well. And here we have, right in the center, when the Bible talks about heart, it's like the control center of our being. And so here to help us understand that, we have, so I in the center of our heart. And so this is a life living for self. This is, we haven't got Jesus in the center. This is a life with anything else in the center. Ultimately, it has self at the center. And so you can see then inside the body, we have, this is like our internal conditions. And so we have what is happening in us and then ultimately flows through us. And we'll get there in a second, is we have these secular scripts, these scriptures that are woven into who we are, that we've heard in the world, that we pick up through media, that soak into who we are. And then we have these family of origin scripts and the family that we were born in, and things that seem just so normal to us, and we just do on autopilot without even thinking about it. These are soaked into our bones. This is so who we are that we don't even realize. And with I in the center, whatever we're producing is the fruit of our own efforts. We're going to call this the old normal. And we could see it as project self under the rule of the flesh. And so this could be self-betterment, and there can be a whole lot of really good things that humans can do in this arena to better ourselves. Ultimately, it's project self, and it's under the rule of the flesh. So the kingdom of this world is alive in us and then flows through us. We are alive, but we're alive in our dead bodies, and we have these me-centered ways of being. And so as we look out, we then have these me-centered ways of being in what's written around the edges. And so this is who we are in the world. These are our ways of being. And so we have all these and so many more parts of what actually makes up who we are in the world. So our thought patterns and attitudes ultimately then get influenced by what's happening right in the control center of our lives. And so it flows out and then impacts the world. So these identity pillars and inner orientation, study, career, and you can see all down here. And if you're listening to the podcast, then I'd encourage you to get the slides, because I'm not going to say every part of this, but we'll have them on our social media for you. Our worldview, our emotions and desires, and what our calendar looks like, our stewardship, and every part of who we are is impacted from what's happening in the center. And so then how we are acting and being in the world, it's who we are, it's how we live. The world is then ultimately impacted by what's in and then flows out. And so this is the default setting of humanity. Our default setting. Let's flick to the next slide, which will look very similar, but instead of eye, you see a cross in the center. And there is a beautiful moment when the grace of God reaches out and a human accepts the wondrous work of Christ, saying, I am a sinner who needs a savior. I'm not going to be in the control center of my life. God, you are. And then we try and figure out how to actually pull that off and allow a work of the Spirit to actually make that somewhat possible. And so now with Jesus in the center, there is this whole new reality that begins to grow within us. So we make a decision in a moment to say yes to Jesus, but then that ultimately has to soak through every part of who we are. And that's the work of discipleship. And so up the top here, instead of having these secular scriptures and family of origin scripts, now we have God's word rewriting truth and beginning to rewrite truth through every fiber of who we are. That we have the fruit of the Spirit growing in us instead of just the fruit of our efforts. That there is a supercharging inside of our lives because the Spirit of the living God lives in us and goes to work to transform every part of who we are as we allow Him. It's no longer the old normal. We start to live in a new normal. And instead of project self, this is a discipleship journey as an apprentice to Jesus. Now my spirit is alive, His Spirit living in me to transform this dead body, and the kingdom of God, not just the kingdom of the world, the kingdom of God now begins to live in us and is expanded through us. And now there are these Jesus-centered ways of being that have to begin to transform all of these outer parts of our lives. So now our way of being in the world looks different and doesn't stop looking different. That day by day, week by week, month by month, we are being transformed more into the glorious image of Jesus. This is the adventure of discipleship. And for us to surrender ourselves to that continued work from God, to not think, it's my 20th anniversary as a Christian. I most surely have arrived. That when we feel that begin to settle in, or a pressure to have to now act like we've got this whole Christianity thing figured out. When we find ourselves there, we should find ourselves in the most troubling waters. Because never, while there is breath in our lungs, should we ever settle for where we're at, because there is more of the perfect image of Christ to be formed in us. And so how are you feeling in this adventure? What kind of stirs in you as you are hearing and listening? Maybe it's something general. this whole concept is like, okay, I didn't really know this is how the Christian thing worked. Maybe it's something really specific and you're really well aware as you sit here and maybe there's some conviction of the Holy Spirit and you know there are a key area or a few key areas where you have not allowed him to come and transform you there. And maybe you can see some of them around here. Maybe there's an owning, like a clinging to a particular weakness that if you let that go, you might not actually know who you are. And so without realizing, you're clinging to something that your glorious God wants to bring freedom into. So you're not defined by that thing, but it'll take you on a journey of discovering the most real you and freedom in that area. Maybe there's emotions and you're an emotional person and you've allowed yourself to let emotions drive. And so there have been key times in life where emotions will take you somewhere and you have a faint understanding this is not the will of God, but it's just been the way that you've done your Christian journey. Now is the time to say enough is enough. I'm going to let the victory of my living God begin to come and bring transformation into that area. Because if we remember, spiritual formation, it's a process of being formed in the image of Christ for the sake of others. The most selfish thing we can do is fight the work of transformation inside of us because it's others who miss out. The more you look like, and this is really common sense. I'm a carpenter. I like practical things. Was Jesus a blessing when he lived and walked on planet Earth? As we live and walk on planet Earth, the more we look like Jesus, will we be more of a blessing? Yes. We get it. We know it. And there is this battle because these ways of being that maybe it's been a family pattern and it's been alive in your family for generations. And there's been a way of communicating which is so far below what God would have you living at, but it just is so normal and we just kind of get sucked back into that place. There is freedom for you and I today to form a whole new way of being in Christ, but the old ways have teeth and claws. And so Scazzero says it's like there's something about it soaked into your bones. The Bible... That's it. Nice. Thank you. Jesus is in your heart, but grandpa is in your bones. And so maybe you've seen this way of treating a certain race or gender or talking about yourself or a way where we would use comedy, but it actually cuts. And it's kind of normal, but it's so far below kingdom life that God is calling us to. And it's time to let a work of his Spirit come and actually convict us. It's the most wonderful thing that the Spirit of God would come and convict, never to push down, always to pull up into the image of Christ and call us to freedom and liberty. And so my heart, our heart, is that each and every one of us in this church community is that we would be a people who never stop on this journey of becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. And so here's what, this is ultimately what we'd want to have happen is that, you know, someone knew you, let's just say you're 47. Just hypothetically. So I just turned 47. It's a good age. I'm really looking forward to 50. I am, genuinely. Anyway, that's got nothing to do with this. So let's just say you're 47. And actually, no, let's go. Yeah, no, that's all right. Let's do that. I just thought, it's actually Simtan's birthday today. I don't know, Sim, are you here at all? I'm not sure if she's able to make it. Simtan is 98 years of age today. No, I don't think she finds it hard to get into church at the moment. Bless Simtan. She is an amazing woman of faith. 98 today. Anyone else 98 today? God bless you. So here's the deal, that You meet someone when you are 37 and they know you quite well. And they know you well enough to not just see the front, but to see every part of you. And so they're aware of your broken humanity. And then you see them again at 47 and they're like, my goodness, what has happened? Like, you're just a far better person than you were at 37. So that right there is what we're called to live. And that hasn't happened to me. I'm not just saying, yeah, I'm awesome. I hope that's what people think when they see me. And if you knew me at 19, then it's pretty easy to see that God's done some stuff. He's done quite a bit of stuff. I'm very grateful. But that year by year, someone sees you and they're like, man. And if they could wrap the right language around it, they're like, you just look a little bit more like Jesus. That maybe between husbands and wives here, through the busyness and the blur and all the pressures, is that in a year's time, you can look at your spouse and you're like, you look a little bit more like Jesus. Now, that's a bit weird if you're talking physically and you've got a wife and you know what I mean. Control center, people. So I want to call us to this adventure again. I want to call us to this adventure. Imagine everyone sitting in this room. We commit ourselves that, okay, this is actually what it is to be a disciple of Christ. It's a lifelong learner, a follower of Jesus, an apprentice to Jesus. Not just an internal disposition, but something that shapes every part of who we are. And now wherever Jesus is, life is. Wherever we allow work of the Spirit, there is freedom in that place. And so there should be nothing in us that would actually want to push back against this. If there is, then it's something of our flesh that is wanting to keep and hang on. And going back to the first slide where there's a part of us where there's me in the center. And there's a war for that. But for us to know that the more we let Jesus in the center of our lives, others will be blessed. The very best husband on planet Earth is the one who allows Jesus to radically change his life over and over and over. And when we lose our temper, that we're like, God, forgive me. Maybe I did what I've seen, but that is so far beneath what you're calling me to. And so help me, transform me, forgive me. And then we'd gather some guys around and go, man, I've got this area that I keep falling into. I need you to help keep me accountable because I don't know if I've got it in myself. And then we'd find a scripture where it's like this power from God that is strong and sharp. And we declare it over this thing that keeps coming to get us. And then we pray over our family that God, there would be a blessing that flows and that you would transform me. So that ultimately, God, that there would be through me great blessing that flows. And that's for dads, that's for mums, that's for us in the marketplace. There's so many teachers in this church that as you step into your school, that is a glorious living reality. That is, you are a witness for Christ amongst the other staff and those students, that there is his image, the image of Jesus, radiating from you more and more. And they're like, man, last year, you used to get really narky at that. Because we can't hide our real selves if you hang around people long enough. They get to see the mess. And then they're like, wow, you reacted differently now. That is our witness more than our preaching. If the world cannot see us transformed more and more into the image of Christ, what basis is there for our message? He is in the business of changing lives and continually changing lives. And that would never stop. That is, if you're in your 40s here with me, that if God willing, we live into our 80s or 90s or like Sim at 98, that we would be so radiating more of the image of Christ at that age because we have not stopped following Jesus. And when you wanted to stop, there was someone that you'd built enough of a connection with who slapped you in the back of the head and said, come on, brother, sister, you've got a little stuck and I've been there myself. Let's walk together into the freedom he has. You're not giving up. There is more. And so what is God calling you to greater freedom in? What does this look like for you? If you're drawing blanks, can I encourage you to ask three people who are really close to you and tell them to be really real in their response? That could be the most life-changing thing you could do. If you're feeling overwhelmed, like, oh, stuff me, I need help in all those things. And you're feeling like, what's the point? It's His Spirit at work in us, day by day, moment by moment. And this process should never stop. And so you don't have to have it all sorted right here, right now. You just respond to the prompting of the Holy Ghost in this moment and then begin taking steps in that area. If it's God speaking to us, this will not be overwhelming. This will be a call to adventure. This will be a glorious invitation to the freedom that Christ gave His life for you and I to have. And we're going to stumble all over the place on this journey. We're going to get it right some days and mess it up horribly wrong on other days. And in just the unending grace of our God, He says, come to me. He doesn't push us away. He says, just come to me. I love you, my son, my daughter. Come. Come close. Don't stuff up and think you've got to run far. Come close. And if it's messy in your head and you haven't quite got it figured out, come close. And if you've tried in certain areas and you've kept stumbling, come close. Come close. So I want to call afresh today, every one of us here to choose, if the band can come and join us, please. To choose to be brave. And to choose to be intentional. To choose to be brave. And to choose to be intentional. And let's walk together on a journey of being formed in the image of Christ for the sake of others. Can everyone just look at me? Let us walk this journey of being formed more and more into the image of Christ for the sake of others. Do not let anything come between you and the victory of Christ. And so together we make a choice here and now to be courageous, a courageous choice. God, can you help me let you in the very center? And then let that take shape.
Thanks so much for joining us here on our podcast. We encourage you to let this word further help you live and share the life to the full that Jesus gives. If you want to check out more about our upcoming events, service times, locations, or to give online, go to c3hh.com.au.